Call the Katuah Fire District Prudential Committee meeting of the, what's it, 22nd of April 2019 to order. Could we have a roll call, please?
Ray Perone, Treasurer.
Lisa Mycock-Kelly, Prudential Committee.
Fran Parks.
Charlie Yeager, Clerk.
And Silvio's absent this evening. Could we stand for the Pledge of Allegiance? Recording? No one's recording. So I'm going to move the water bylaw up so these folks don't have to sit here and listen to the rest of this. So we've got a proposed bylaw for the stabilization fund. Do you want, since you're the chair of the bylaw committee?
Well, we have a bylaw committee meeting scheduled for Wednesday at 6 p.m. here at Freedom Hall. Unfortunately, we weren't able to meet before tonight to further discuss this. Okay. The only other time we've really taken a look at this was at the joint meeting with the water commissioners. They had invited the bylaw committee to come to that, so we had all decided that we would come back to it. We were not a full committee at that time. One of our four members was absent, so certainly to give him the opportunity to weigh in on the proposed article. So that will be occurring again on Wednesday evening.
And we're also going to need a motion from your committee to rescind Article 9, Section 5, which this is replacing. And my only comment about this is I don't think, as prescribed in the FY 2020 water rate changes, is a necessary to be in there. I just think the execution date of 7/1/19 is all that's necessary.
And I had just a couple of questions in looking at it. So you actually put in the dollar amount of the meter fee, the annual fee, and I'm just wondering if that needs to be in there in the instance that, you know, at some future date that changes, we're then going to have to go through amending the bylaw. If you identify the source of the revenues, I'm just, you know, as that being enough, is to have not have a specific dollar amount. Is there a reason that was in there?
Yeah, it was in there pursuant to our committee's discussions, and it was a motion was made, seconded, voted on unanimously to make it $20 a year, flat rate, and that all of those funds would go into the stabilization fund for the water department, for the sole purpose of the water department. So the purpose of the $20 was so that it was stable and transparent for the district, so that everybody knew that's what it is, and so that when they're sitting here at district meeting, they can't think to themselves, well, what if they decide to raise it or drop it? And we wouldn't be able to do that anyways because of the wording in the stabilization fund, but we just wanted to give everybody that assurance. So we set it at $20.
You know, and I'm just wondering, you know, if in another 15 years we decide the meter fee is going to be $30.
So then we'd go back to the district.
We'd have to amend
the bylaw. We'd have to do that anyways.
Mm-hmm. But no, you wouldn't have to do it anyways.
If you made it without the dollar, right, you wouldn't have to go back to the district.
Yeah, but we wanted to make sure that the district understood that that's what it was. It was $20,
was
and it wasn't going to go up. It's,
you know,
not
maybe
a mobile thing.
Yeah. But you can just explain that when you're, I mean, you explained it in your presentation, and you can explain that when you're proposing the bylaw change. But not everybody reads the bylaws.
Right, so we'll read that into the record again, that it's a $20 flat.
I just was trying to save. If there was a change in the future. I also didn't know if we needed the sentence deposit into this fund, into said fund will be made following the first and third bills during each fiscal year. You know, I'm just trying not to You know, oftentimes the less we say, the less likely we are to get into troubles. And just didn't know if that was a necessary sentence. And lastly, I guess the only other suggestion that I had would be perhaps in the last sentence, except for just a couple of grammatical things. As per statute, any withdrawals would require a two-third majority of those present and voting at the annual district meeting or special district meeting, just, you know, to identify that. I'll be honest, I don't know whether how that's typically worded in the bylaws. I'll have to look at them. You know, whether things that do require vote at a district meeting, does it say at the annual district meeting or a special district meeting? Just to be...
It just says district meeting.
Okay, then that's fine. Just to be kind of, you know, keep the wording the same. So those were kind of my questions.
So the last sentence that you referenced, that was something that we inserted at the recommendation of town council and our district treasurer. So that's why that's there.
Yeah.
At our meeting on Wednesday, we voted to approve the article unanimously and to send it on to the attorney for their review, and then the attorney said, you got to check with Ray as well, because he's the money guy, and it made perfect sense. So then we've been routing it around over the past weekend, ironing out the details, and Fran had some suggestions. We removed some wording, and this is what we've landed on at this point. So one thing that district voters were curious about, and as were some of the commissioners, was that how would the money be accessed out of the stabilization fund? Would it go direct from the stabilization to an expenditure line, or would it move to the general fund? How would that work? And that's a question for Ray, I guess.
Well, the mechanics are, once you have an appropriation that is approved by the taxpayers, we would put in the budget that appropriation, and it would be funded out of the stabilization. It would be similar to borrowing money for a capital project or for any project.
But from that,
the stabilization becomes a source of funds, but the expenditure is shown in your operating budget as either a special article and I probably tend to make it a special article, so it's not mixed in with your regular budget. Because it should be, as you outlined, an extraordinary item.
Right.
Yep. So right. It would be reflected as a special article, and then to fund that, I would move money from the stabilization fund. And kind of going behind what Lisa just said, once you pass this motion, I think you were trying to make it funded based on collections. And it's not going to be. It's going to be, once you put that appropriation, then we're going to appropriate $20, and that's going to be X dollars. That becomes what I would transfer into the stabilization fund. It's not based on collections. You're authorizing, or the taxpayers are authorizing, us to move an amount equal to $20 per meter into the stabilization fund. I would tend to do that, you know, early in the year. You wouldn't be dependent upon, well, you build it, now we move it. That's when you bill it is immaterial.
Right, okay.
You passed a motion, the taxpayers have approved this amount of money to move into the Water Department Stabilization Fund, and that's it. It's independent of collections.
Okay.
I mean, you could, you know, people could decide that they only wanted to give you $5.
Right, so that's would be my next question, is what if
they gave
somebody
you five,
doesn't give us any, right, and they say, we're going to give you...
I'm going to come to that in a minute,
okay.
But if they did, you know, we're going to be out, the district would be out $15 a meter.
Right.
Because once the taxpayers approve that this amount of money goes into the stabilization, you happen to calculate it by the number of meters. It could be the passing clouds, to be ridiculous. That's just a way of calculating. They're authorizing that amount to move into stabilization.
So I think that's why we wanted to have it fund, those funds go into that account twice per year.
No.
So that if we, whatever we collected would go in, and if for some reason we weren't able to collect that.
No, can't work that way.
It won't work? There's no way to do it that way?
Once the taxpayers authorize it, it goes in. That's it.
They authorize it per meter charge.
Yeah, they authorize.
As written here, then it, wouldn't it be twice a year?
They authorize $20 per meter.
Something that.
Which is a calculation of 180, well, no, it's not that, it's 45,000.
45, say it's roughly 45,000.
I would move $45,000 into stabilization. And probably by the time I get through the close and dance around with everything, it might be the fall by the time I do that. But I do it in one shot.
You know, what our current stabilization, we authorize $25,000 every year to go into it.
Right.
And that's done as soon as the meeting authorizes and then it's over. I mean, doing it as the payments come in would be an incredible headache. Yeah. And you can't, you know, just deposit 4 checks and then 5 checks and whatever.
No, it would be once they've all come in, that's when... the water department would transfer those funds to the treasurer's office, but I think, no?
No. I mean, first of all the money comes in, has to come to me by law. So
okay.
It can't go to the water department to be accumulated. It has to come to me by law.
Plus, where would you keep it?
Right. Okay.
Yeah. No, good.
Because we're being recorded.
With it being calculated at $20 per meter, the number of meters can change over the course of the year, whether there's new installations, inactive accounts. So I don't know how you can say it's, you know, $45,000 even, for example. And I wonder how it worked or was proposed to work with the bylaw that was on the books for the $600 per service connection. Because that's per service connection per year, and you don't know whether you're going to have one service connection or 20 service connections in a year.
Right, but those were non-existing accounts, and your current meters are all existing and operating.
Right, but how is the collection of that or the accounting of that different when you don't know whether you're going to have 20 services in a year at $600 a piece or whether you're going to have 2,300 meters or 2,500 meters in a year?
Because the taxpayers are really authorizing an amount, not the number of meters.
They're authorizing.
So we happen to say that, you know, based on the current statistics, there are, you know, 2,000 meters at X dollars, so that's $40,000, just using a number. That's what the taxpayers are authorizing. So $40,000 would move into the stabilization fund.
And when you say stabilization fund, are you meaning in within the general ledger or a separate bank account?
Not separate bank account.
So just an entry on the ledger.
It's an accounting entry.
So how is that, like when I send the deposits over several times a week and we break it out by account number on that deposit,
yep.
Is it possible to say here's your credit to... debit to cash and a credit to these five revenue accounts.
I mean, if you want to keep a tab on that, that's fine. But for our accounting, that's immaterial. We've moved money into the stabilization fund. We're now going to have to figure out how we account for that extra revenue that comes in, because they're two separate things.
So if we move $45,000 to the stabilization fund at some point during the year, and we collect receipts in the amount of $45,500, what happens to the additional $500 that's supposed to go into the stabilization fund?
Miscellaneous income.
So not for the purpose stated in the bylaw.
Because the taxpayers have to authorize an amount. I don't think we can have them authorize a contingent amount.
Then how was it done in 73? That's my question.
I think I understand Jen's question, but I don't think it was my understanding that was it was never done. So
right.
We don't. I think that it would have been the same issue, I guess, that Ray's suggesting, because that fund never happened. But I can I understand the fact that the numbers will change each year, and the number of meters that you have, but, you know, we can't change how much we're going to deposit each year without going to the taxpayers each year and changing that, right?
Yeah, you'd have to reword the motion to say that an amount will be transferred to water department stabilization at $20 a meter based on the census of meters as of a date.
Right, and,
done.
And perhaps that could be done, that deposit could be done at the end of the year so that we have collected all of the funds, so you know, so then you have a value.
Or are we a year behind?
It has to be done after the annual meeting, once, because we're instructing the treasurer to do it. That's when we're instructing him to do it. And the $600 is different because you couldn't collect that money until somebody came and actually wanted a new connection. You know, so, you know, you didn't know how many connections. There could be two connections that year, three connections, no connections that year. So that's why it was on a one-time basis per connection. But this is for existing meters.
Correct. But what happens if we get more meters? Or less meters.
Then, this just says $20 per year per meter. Yeah. So if, you know, you come back next year at this time and say, well, you know, five people left and or built wells and, you know, they're not, then, you know, you can subtract the number.
But I think you're going to have to specify a census of meters as of a date. I think, no, you don't have to. You should.
I think that's a good idea, Ray, and I just don't know what the date would be, right? What?
July 1st.
When do you meet the read the meters? Before I lose my voice.
Four times.
January, then, based on the January census.
Yeah. That makes sense.
So then you won't move any money in January?
I'm sorry?
So you wouldn't move any money into that account until January?
No, that's just a method of calculating.
Okay.
The taxpayers authorize that amount.
Okay.
We can go back to the census and say how many meters for the purpose of the article and say there were 17 meters, you know, pick a number. That's the amount that I will transfer. And then next year, we would get a, you know, but I think that has to be reflected in the bylaw change. So it's evergreen.
I understand.
So is there a way then to also include some wording that says if there's excess, or if that value is in excess of or less than the $45K expected, that will either, if it's less than, then it'll, then that amount will come out of the stabilization fund. If it's in excess of, it'll go into it.
I think that's,
you know what I mean?
You're going to have a real long epistle on that.
I think that's getting into too much into the weeds.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
That's not, you know, that's not what a bylaw is for. Is that kind of operational, correct? Yeah.
Put out of the stabilization fund, you need a two-thirds vote of the district.
Correct.
So if you have excess or less than, you've already put in. So
you can subtract it.
How do you take it out? You have to get a two-thirds vote.
Good point.
You have to get up there if you're going to talk.
Could you delay this by 1 year? Say, based on what we receive for these, it wouldn't happen this year, but based on the receipts for the connections in fiscal year 2019, let's say, the next year we will put that amount into the next budget, the next year's fiscal year budget for the Water Department Stabilization Fund. Then you would have an absolutely accurate amount, and it would be based on the voters approving what happened the previous year and what could go then into the next year's budget for the stabilization fund. There wouldn't be any uncertainty.
Well, could Ray, if you put in $45,000 and that you find out that that's $5,000 too much on for FY20, So when FY21 comes up, can you put in just 40?
It depends on the wording of the
okay.
of the bylaw, how you know what I am commanded to do. If you make that part of the bylaw that says, and the treasurer will adjust the contribution annually for pluses or minuses, but we're now getting into
the weeds.
Very long bylaw. I would just say if we can base it on the census in January, and that's the amount that the taxpayers approve. That it's $20 a meter based on the census as of January, and we'll go back to the January census, get the meters, and that will be what we put in the stabilization fund.
Okay. And that's the second reading. So that should be.
So I always record at the end of the calendar year, at the end of December for our history logs, the total number of accounts on the books. If we were to take that number from 12/31/18 and use that to fund the fiscal year 20 appropriation, that would be your January number for the fiscal year 20 appropriation.
Yeah, that's what I'm proposing. But we fix that date. However, whether it's you get that number from the meter read in January or from your calculation. The only thing I'm thinking about is now the auditors are going to get involved and we want to make it very clean and simple for them to verify amounts because they will get involved in the game of proving that it's 17 meters and not 16 and a half, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. Well, we'll have number of items billed. We'll be able to provide.
So if you document what you're saying, that you come up with a census as of December, we'll just say in the based on the water department census of meters as of the December of the prior year.
Yeah.
So, Tom Poppenstegen, so that would, so we need to change the wording on the deposits in the said fund will be made following first and third bills to the wording that you just proposed.
At the beginning
proposed.
Of the fiscal year based on.
Yeah.
Based on the census.
Do you have to even include the deposits?
I'm sorry?
Do you have to even include, you know, if it's going into a stabilization fund, do you need to include the deposits?
I think.
That seems superfluous.
I think you do. I think Mark was pretty adamant about that, that you had to, with a stabilization fund, you had to say how much, where the funds were going to come from and how much was going to go.
Right, but
who said that?
Mark, who drove.
That they had to be, he was saying, I'm sorry, I'm.
He was saying that you had, that this deposits into said fund will be made following the first and third billings during each fiscal year. No.
No, not that.
He was saying you had to identify where the source of funds was coming from and where it was going.
Yeah.
Right. But, so you don't need that sentence because the revenue would be counted for separately by the water and kept in a separate account within the district stabilization fund. That's where it's going. You've already got that in there. Where it's going, you don't need the first and third billing. That's super, you know.
If I understand what Mark is saying, but if he ties it to something specific within water department revenue, so I would say if you just say the water department will fund the stabilization fund and then describe the source of that funding as meters, $20 a meter based on the census. I think that's sufficient to say that's where the source is. So I don't think you need deposits because, you know, as I said, I will make an accounting entry to move that into this newly created Water Department Stabilization Fund. And it actually exists within what the auditors call special revenue funds, which is a whole bunch of funds. But it's all accounted for separately.
Sounds like that would work.
No, it's all accounted for separately.
you guys have that wording for your bylaw subcommittee? Or
I'm sorry, say that again, Tom?
No.
I'm sorry. Can you repeat that? I apologize.
You can email it to her.
Yeah, let me wordsmith.
Okay.
Let me wordsmith it. And I'll copy
I was making
you
a note on something else we had to do. Oh, here, you have it.
Okay. I'll wordsmith it and see if it passes muster.
Okay. Thank you, Ray.
All set?
I think so. Anything else? And you guys will meet on Wednesday.
Yep.
Finalize it. Get it over to Charlie.
Then we'll approve it for the warrant next Monday.
Yeah.
Can I just ask one question? It's stupid. I don't know as much as everyone else. If we're saying $20, let's say we have 4,000 meters, and we're saying $20 a meter. What happens if for the people who don't pay their bills and they're not dinged for it for a long time, eventually maybe it'll be taken out of their taxes for water liens, but how does that stabilization fund that we originally said was going to be X amount, if we don't get that revenue, how does that stabilization fund get fully funded? Where does the money come from?
Basically, we don't adjust.
Our taxpayer.
Basically, we don't adjust. If it becomes serious, I would probably have a motion to reduce the amount of the transfer for 1 year to reflect defaults, et cetera, or something like that.
Okay.
I mean, we're probably going to have maybe 10 people who don't pay. I'm not going to worry about...
Yeah, I was going to ask, what is our, default?
But you send how many accounts do you send to the treasurer? How many?
Town.
Yeah.
Last year we sent 14 accounts.
Okay.
So that's de minimis.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Well, that may change. So can I just ask another question that's not on the topic, but. No, so you have secure networks now, and the water commissioners can view the warrants at home. So when are we going to start getting those to us on a weekly basis?
There hasn't been any go. We did the first one that way the first week of April, and then the following week they were having a commissioner's meeting, so they signed the paper one. Right now I have 4 bills in my drawer, so I didn't think it was really worth submitting another warrant and having everybody jump through hoops for 4 bills. But as the mail comes in this week, I can have one by the end of next week.
Yeah, I think probably it would make it easier for the treasurer's office if it was submitted on a weekly basis, whether there are 20 bills or 4 bills. Just.
And you would want those on Monday morning. So if I did a warrant on Friday and sent it to the commissioners, they could have Monday to approve.
If it's weekly, just pick your day. I think we're happy. We can work around any day. Lisa is in 4 days a week, so obviously one of those 4 days. But if it's weekly, we can stay current with it. So.
Okay. Yeah.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Stay dry.
Tom,
thank you.
Tom, I'd like him to have say to this.
You want me to stay?
If you wouldn't mind. Just so you hear it.
Okay.
Treasurer. We're finalizing the budget and a few things that are still coming together. Insurance estimates, things like that are tardy. But one big question that I would like the Prudential Committee's thoughts on is how much of the rate increase we will reflect in the annual district meeting to show the taxpayers what the tax increase would be. We have to make that estimate now. It's a no penalty estimate now, but in November, when I actually make the tax calculation, it becomes more serious, because if I overestimate, we will have what's called a revenue deficit, which you have to make up in the next tax calculation. It's something you want to avoid. You have to jump through some hoops for the DOR. So we've historically tended to be very conservative about revenue estimates. So I'd like to walk the committee through very quickly what the dilemma that I see and ask for their thoughts. I'll give you what I think we ought to do and then ask for their thoughts. The budget the current year for revenue in the Water Department is $552,000. By my estimate, they'll end up somewhere around $670,000, so we're in good shape there. The cost of service revenue estimates that I've extracted from the engineer's report show that the basic use is $182,000, excess use $973,000, and other local revenue such as solar credits and rental space for the antenna is $81,000, for a total of $1,236,000. Right now in the draft budget, we have appropriations totaling $4,722,000. We have other funding sources, ambulance, debt, free cash of $474,000, leaving $4,248,000 to be funded, less whatever we estimate for water. If we were to take the engineer's estimate and use that is 100% of the revenue estimate, it would show taxes going down 13%. If we use 80%, I got a plus sign where I should have a minus, excuse me, your taxes will go down about 6%. The amount of money that we'll raise by taxes goes down 6%. If we use 63% of the revenue, it would have a complete offset to what we have to raise for taxes, and so taxes would be unchanged from year to year. I'm concerned that so much of that revenue is that the engineers are projecting is predicated on excess use. The law of economics is going to come into play. And as prices go up, people will conserve, which is a good thing. And I think that's one of the things that the Water Department wanted to achieve with this. However, it will change the amount of money that we would come in from what the engineers estimate. I don't know if they incorporated some cushion in that or not, but as I look at it, I think that $743,000 is really at risk, and I believe that we ought to be somewhere between the 80 and the 63%. And as you can see, that at 80%, we're using $988,000 of Water Department revenue, which is a substantial increase from where we are now. And even at 62%, that's $100,000 over what we've collected this year. And again, we're going to be setting these with little or no experience on our rate of collection, because I'll be setting this in November. And we'll only have really the basic use billing that's going out. Then in October, we'll get that first excess use. And in 1 month or 6 weeks, we really won't know what you know, the default rate, if you will, or the mitigating rate will be. So that's what I think we ought to be, somewhere between the 63 and the 80. 75% or something like that. I don't know if, Tom, you have any opinion on that. To me, this is new ground. We don't really have any experience in this, and I just keep remembering that basic economic curve that you learned in Economics 101. That curve goes up and demand goes down. So my recommendation to the committee is something like 75%.
Tom Hoppenstead, Water Commission. I agree, Ray. I mean, we need to be conservative with that, and I think going with the consultants 100% may be a little too liberal. So you guys are the numbers people. We haven't talked about that at all on the Water Commission at this point.
So you don't have any knowledge regarding some of the other districts that, who else is fully funded now? Okay. We just don't know what they're experiencing.
Yeah, Barnstable will be fully funded, well, you know, 80% funded or 75% funded, I think by the end of next year, because they phase theirs in.
Yeah, they did it over 3 years.
Three years. And they're probably the closest that we have in terms of a similar size district. So.
Thank you.
Charlie, do you know what's going on in Barnstable over there? The water and...
Well, they did phase in their rate increase over the three-year period.
So do you know what the receipts, how they were they?
Actually, I could get you that information from last year. I just sent out the book.
But, you know, their increases were structured differently, though. They had sort of moderate increases till you get to the big users, and those are $7.50, you know, for the big users. So, I don't know. I think I would be a little bit more conservative than 75%.
Really? Okay.
You know, I think, you know, maybe 55 or not 55, but, you know, either, 70 or 65. I don't think I would go with 75.
55% rather than 75?
65 rather than
75. 65, I'm sorry.
I think, because we don't know what's going to happen this year.
And it doesn't affect what we're actually going to collect. It's just we don't want to mislead the taxpayers into thinking that we're going to collect more money than we end up collecting, and we don't want to get ourselves in trouble with a revenue deficit.
One more thing to maybe consider in that calculation is whether you account for the revenue cash basis or accrual basis, but we will be closing out the old rate structure as of June 30th, doing actual readings and billing for that in July, so we will be collecting revenue at the beginning of the fiscal year for prior water usage.
Yep.
So then what we bill at the end of the fiscal year, again, will be collected in the following fiscal year. So that may shift some of your revenue numbers as well.
How much in the... I thought you were going to bill... You're going to bill basic use in July and January.
Correct.
You're going to bill excess use in October and March, I thought.
Well, actually, that's not correct. We will bill minimum use, basic use, in... at the end of September and at the end of March. We will, at the end of the following quarter, so at the end of December and at the end of June, we'll take actual readings after the month is closed, so the first week of the following month, we'll do readings and bill by the 15th of the month.
So you won't bill, if I understand, you won't bill for excess use until December for the first time, and then June for the second time, or July 1st for the second time.
For the new rate structure, at the new rates, we will close December 31st, read the meters the first week of January, and have bills out by the 15th of January that we'll be due in 60 days. And then same, we'll close June 30th, read the first week of July, and have bills out in July.
And I would guess that the distribution of excess use is going to be obviously heavily weighted to December, probably 70%.
The estimates that they used were 59% of the usage would occur in the summer months and 41% in the winter months.
Historically, we have been on a cash basis, and the auditors adjust to accrual for their GAAP statements, but we do all our budgeting on cash basis. So that revenue, that 41% of the excess use would fall into next year, into 21, excuse me.
Right.
But we would have the advantage of the 41% of existing use at existing rates.
You would have the actual use from October 1st through June 30th billed at the current rates, received as revenue
and in July and August. Right,
that'll
be July of this year.
2019.
And that'd be about, in rough terms, 41% of what, and the rates are going, in general, the rates are going up something like
1.5 times.
So 150%.
Yep.
Yeah, that argues more for lower.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think we're down maybe just 50%. Yep. I mean, I can play around with some numbers and do some math, but just my sense of things says 50%.
Okay. All right.
So, So the last word I heard on the Freedom Hall floor is mid-September to mid-October.
Okay, but and we've blocked out that period of time on the calendar?
Yes, we've blocked out that period of time.
All right. I know Chris will appreciate that. She didn't want to have to make those phone calls.
Yeah, I know. So the next is the non-binding ballot question, which I'll let you go with that.
I believe that Chapter 53, 18A, is the non-binding portion of the statute, and that 18B is for the binding.
And you spoke with Attorney Boudreau regarding that?
Yes.
Okay. Now, Section 18A certainly says, right in the title, non-binding public opinion advisory questions.
Right.
While Section 18B covers information relating to what you have to do for questions that are actually, you know, going on the ballot. So it would certainly lead to that interpretation.
So we have to ask them if they want to withdraw it?
Yeah. I would say their answer is probably no.
Well, we still, even if that's, so their answer is no. We still need to institute 18A.
Yes.
And the petition is to institute 18B.
B, right.
So 18B is not applicable in the current situation.
Right.
But
it
does have to go on the warrant as written. Okay. And then a vote will be taken on it.
But, you know, I personally don't want binding questions
on the ballot.
On the ballot, you know.
I mean, and if you look at it, the cost will be extremely high because district council has to interview people. Mm-hmm.
It goes far beyond the cost of mailing when you read the requirements for the pros and cons under 18B. You know,
So did they put non-binding in their request?
No, they just put in adopting 18A, I believe.
18B.
18B. They actually made two petitions. One is to see if the district will amend Section 2, 5A of the bylaws, inserting questions after the word nomination papers, so that it would read, upon receipt of valid nomination papers and questions, the clerk shall have prepared printed ballots, including absentee ballots in accordance to Mass General Laws. And then the other one is to see if the district will accept and adopt Mass General Laws, Chapter 53, Section 18B, relating to questions on district ballot.
So they either did or did not do that intentionally, but I think the problem with that is there's not going to be any discussion on whatever the ballot question is.
Yeah.
There won't be any discussion by, you know, the members of the public at the district meeting. And the other problem with accepting the way it is that if you don't include 18A, there is no requirement for, you know, X number of people to make the petition. So one person could, you know, write a ballot question every year that would cost, the direct mail cost is $448. The printing cost for, you know, like for the Civic Association mailer is $348. And then there are the legal costs on top of that, which, you know, probably, you know, who knows, another $1,000. And that would have to go into the budget every year in case somebody decided that they want to do a ballot question.
Well, and I don't think 18A, though, if 18B only addresses binding questions, we can't, you know, even if we adopt 18A, it still allows for one person, because the rules of 18A don't necessarily apply to 18B.
Right.
Because 18A only applies to non-binding public opinion. Advisory questions. So even adoption of 18A with 18B won't require that, you know, either the 10 registered voters, if we approve, or 10% of the registered voters, from my reading.
So I guess we'll just have to have a very lengthy discussion about this at the
district
meeting.
Because some of my concern is our past history of voter turnout. You know, it's fairly easy to stack the deck in certain instances to get something passed by or defeated by a small pocket of people. Unfortunately, our district isn't super well informed, I don't think, of many of the things we deal with, and that's just the reality of the situation.
Okay, so I just got this today from Chris. The Tewitt Center for the Arts has been using the hall to practice, and they have another piano available that works, and they would like to give it to us, you know, and would it be possible to switch them out? Well, you know, I don't know if anybody's ever tried to get rid of a piano, and, you know, unless it's an extremely valuable piano, which that upright isn't, you know, it's going to cost, you know.
Well, do they want to take care of that?
I haven't. You've got junk, but I'm not sure that we want another piano the size of this upright up there, you know, considering the amount of use that it gets.
I was going to ask. I know there's a play happening here this summer.
Right.
And then how often does the Kituit Center for the Arts actually use the building? for rehearsals? Do we?
You know, they used it for a play last year, and they're using it for another play this year. But, you know, I think that if anybody wants a piano here, they have a keyboard.
Yeah.
You know, which is, you know.
I mean, I guess I wouldn't be opposed to if they want to take care of the cost of removing and getting rid of this and replacing it with something that's more useful. You know, there's something there, so I guess as long as
they have another,
doesn't cost the district anything.
They have another upright. They want to replace it with the same thing. So,
well, it might be easier for us to get rid of an upright piano that actually works if we actually wanted to get rid of it.
Yeah. I hate to burst your bubble, but you know, it's not. I see ads for, nobody wants a piano. You know, they don't want. Somebody else tried to give us a baby grand. You know, for the stage.
Does the piano we have work? Has it ever been? I mean, is it?
Well, it was probably tuned at some point, some time ago. You know, okay. Not recently. Yeah.
Last time they did the floors.
Yeah. Right. So.
Okay.
So I don't know if we want another piano or not up there. You know, most people that rent the hall and want music bring their own. I don't think the Contras use it.
I don't know. I wouldn't think so.
And I know the Tango people don't use it. So, all right. So I guess the last minutes, yeah. I'll take a motion to approve the February 11th, 2019 minutes.
I just had one comment. There's a misspelling on under discuss station plans. It's really, you know what it is, so it's not fatal to the minutes.
Okay, I'll check that.
It's not, but otherwise, I second your motion to accept the minutes from our meeting of February 11th, 2019.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Is there any public comment? No public comment. I will accept a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
All those second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. We are adjourned. Back in session. The space needs assessment. Okay. So, we have $25,000 that was set aside for demolishing 56 High Street. Now, if we ever do build a building there, that's going to need to be part of the construction process. And so I'd like to suggest that we take that $25,000 and put it for continued space needs assessment evaluation of a single-story building at 56 High Street.
Don't we have, even if we aren't to build anything there, don't we have to raise it after the appeal period from conservation, or we have to go back through it? No?
We have to go back through it.
Yeah.
Permission to raise it.
Yeah. Okay.
And from them. But if we raise it, then that's going to change our zoning status, so we need to keep it there until we decide what
okay.
we're going
to
do.
Okay. So we, so we do have to do that. All right.
So we have, I didn't bring the bill, but we've gone over the $25,000 for that we had for the space needs by about $11,000.
Yeah.
Or if we continue with, you know, asking them to give us another,
version.
it'll be $11,000. So, you know, I think we really need to do that rather than, you know, starting back at square one. And at the meeting, one person came up to me and said they thought we should have a special meeting in January, to discuss this again.
Why January? Did they have a rational?
No, just pick January. You know, another fellow came up to me and said that we should have the picture that he saw of the single building. We should attach it to the fire station. we just tried that.
Yeah, we tried that.
And it didn't work.
Hefty price tag.
Yeah, and it would still be a hefty price tag because of the foundation.
And somebody else said that we should sell 56 High Street and put the building up where the water tower was, because that's commercial property. I don't think we have any commercial property to it, but...
Last I checked, it was also either pre-existing or special permit.
Yeah, right. So I'd like to, propose that we put an article on the warrant to, move that money into the special needs assessment.
Okay. I'll second that. Is that a motion?
That's a motion.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. So now let's, I make a motion that we adjourn.
Second?
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.